Listening to WGXC, the Monday afternoon show, and Sarah and I are ecstatic at the moment. We have Sonia Kitchell in the studio with us here to play a couple songs live. We were just listening to two songs that are quite recent, right?
Yeah, pretty recent.
So the first one was Convict of Conviction, which is the name of
Album? The first one you played is Lighthouse,
which is my favorite.
And the one you just were playing is Convict of Conviction, which is the title of that EP.
Mm-hmm. So you are 24.
Yes.
And yet your first release was in 2006.
Yes.
So how old were you then?
I was 16.
You were 16.
Yeah.
And since then you've had many musical experiences and have come out with a couple, an EP and two other album releases?
Yeah, an EP and two full-length records. And I'm currently working on my third full-length, which should be done within the month. So that's exciting.
So when I was sort of trying to build a personal portrait for myself as to what your sort of 20s have looked like, your teens and 20s have looked like thus far. You've done a lot of touring, and then sometimes you go into more sort of rural landscapes to make records and also sort of reflect on maybe what happened. Could you talk a little bit about some of the stuff that came after your first release, going on tour?
Well, it's funny that you pick up on that, because that's like exactly what's happened thus far. It's like all full out on the road for maybe a year and a half straight or something ridiculous, like living out of a suitcase in a different, sometimes in a different country every day for months on end. And then usually, you know, you hit a point where that's just too much and I needed to withdraw. And I grew up in Western Massachusetts in the Berkshires. So I grew up in a very rural place with nothing around and very quiet. So I tend to need that and crave that. So the first time, I think after my first album was released when I was 16, I toured pretty hard for about 2 years. And then I didn't draw in for my first solitary retreat really till after my second album. So I kind of went for maybe 4 years before
before from 16 to 20.
Yeah. Before really drawing in for the first time. And in that time, I went up to this house in the woods and spent a lot of time alone during the winter and wrote all the songs that you were just playing, which sound like they come from a wintry house in the middle of nowhere.
When did you go on tour with Herbie Hancock?
Right before that. So I spent about 8 months on tour with him. My second album was on Universal, and it came out, it was called This Storm, and it came out right around when I was 18. And at the same time, I sang on Herbie's record, The Joni Letters, which won Album of the Year. And then he asked me to be the singer on that tour, so I sang all the songs that were on that record. And we toured for about 8 months and traveled the world, and it was pretty crazy. And after that, I was in some kind of shock or something. So that was the first time that I withdrew.
And I have just a personal observation that I just wanted to sort of bounce off you and see if there's anything that sticks. But when I was listening to the different iterations, meaning that like the different albums, it seems as if like with each ensuing album, it gets more and more internal. Like your sort of singing a portrait of emotional landscapes. Like when I heard Lighthouse, I almost felt like I was watching emotions. And I'm wondering where, if emotions play a huge role in your work.
Yeah, I would say entirely. It's been an interesting process because I did start very young and I was kind of tenacious and wanted to be a singer and wanted to be a performer and had the knack for it, had this kind of ability to write songs and sing that was a little bit unusual. And so, my parents are artists and they were fully supportive, which I'm very lucky for. And so I was able to follow this dream and pursue it. And there was a lot of, because I was rather unusual, it was, I think, perhaps easy to gain that support. In the beginning, it was kind of like a novelty almost. And then I think as I've grown up a little bit, I've started to understand what the songs I was writing are about, because I didn't even know what I was singing about sometimes, which is kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. And start to live the experiences I was singing about, because I was just imagining and I didn't really know what it was like to have my heart broken or to feel loss or like, but I imagined all these things and slowly I started to live them all. And it's been this kind of reversal, I think, of what most people do, which is most artists who are songwriters start playing their guitar solo and eventually maybe one day they play with a band. I started as a jazz singer with a band, not knowing how to play any instruments, and eventually had to play guitar because I had to tour and I had to play something and somebody had to play guitar and my guitarist quit, so I had to figure it out. And so that's how I started playing guitar, and then eventually I had to do the show and it was too expensive to fly the band, so I just had to play it solo. And slowly but surely, it's kind of gone. It has. It's like come back to just me. And that's where I am right now. This album that I'm working on has been a really amazing and difficult experience because, again, I went up to the woods and have this time produced it and played most of the instruments. And it's been a really incredible and challenging experience for that reason.
Can we hear a little bit of what you've been working on?
Sure. And of course, these songs sound different once they're... hopefully, you'll get the full recorded versions, but this is a little solo. This song is called Follow Me In.
You're gonna give me all your love and all. What should I do? I'm gonna give you all my love and give it right on back to you. If you follow me in, come on, follow me in. Follow me in, come on, follow me in. I get tired of skirting around the short and narrow line. It seems we live with our hearts bound by all past hurts entwined. Follow me in, won't you follow me in? Follow me in, come on, follow me. Something's gotta give. This levee's bound to break. Water's rushing in. Let me trust so I can wash away. 'Cause I long to be crushed by the crashing waves of this sea. Only once I trust these waves.
That is absolutely gorgeous. I've been listening on different albums online, and then just to have you fill this room, it's really mesmerizing. It kept on making me think about when you are writing lyrics, do you sort of resonate when you're sort of matching your emotions to a scenario with landscapes or with action verbs, or, you know, like, is there certain visuals that sort of bring you into a lyrical state?
I think it's very varied. I come from a visual family. My parents are painters and photographers, and most of the people on my dad's side are architects, so I am extremely visual to the point of getting very distracted all the time by light and the way things collide or land, I think light plays a big role in what inspires me, the way light will come in a window or land on something or be kind of murky or be really bright, and it kind of stirs this feeling. But generally the way that I write songs is I just write them, if that makes any sense. I have never been very disciplined about songwriting. Perhaps I should be. Actually, no, because I am a very prolific songwriter, so it's not a problem yet. Which I like to just wait around for them to come. And when they come, it's important to create the space for them. I think that's the way that I write, is if they come, I have to kind of remove myself from whatever's happening and just go write it. But it's like this feeling that comes all at once. And sometimes it's really not fun, actually. It's like a pain in the ass. But you just have to sit there until it's done. And the beginning is exciting and the end is exciting, and the middle can be kind of strenuous.
Right. I love that you mention your relationship to light, because in so much of the songs I've heard, and this one too, breath has a lot of weight or has a lot of air in it.
Hmm.
For me, I'm also quite visual, and I love seeing colors. And
yeah.
So when you hit some of those high notes, it's this really fantastic visual experience for me as well. And that's why I think, because you hit those colors, I kind of feel this emotional landscape, which I don't know how to explain it, but it's a full body experience when I listen to you play.
Well, that's wonderful. I think as a writer, you hope that even if people aren't hearing the words, because I know sometimes I don't hear the words when I first hear a song, I just kind of take it in, that at least you're saying these really beautiful, poignant words that will seep in some way and make them feel in some way.
Can we hear another?
Sure. This is a little summer song. This is my friend Miriam's favorite song, and Miriam is the reason that I'm here today.
This perhaps that's a foolish thing. Foolish thing to do. Horseshoes, you said we'd find them by the shore, amongst the scattered dreams you left behind when you were young. So we left this concrete behind us, 5 in the morning, the bellies full of gold, James, what do you do?
Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure.
What room was that called?
That was called James.
James. Sonia, it has been such an absolute pleasure having you in the studio. I wish you could fill up the full 2 hours, which I might actually ask you to do next week. And I'm kidding. Well. But for those who want to hear all your music or the last 2 songs, they'll come out later. But where can we find you?
I think the easiest place right now is iTunes or my website, and you just have to know my name, which is Sonia Kitchell. And yes, please stay tuned for the new album. I'm very excited about it.
And you might be at John Doe's tomorrow?
Yeah, I think I'll come out to see my friends play.
Fantastic. Well, thank you once again for joining us, and it was so, so lovely.
Thank you.